the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL wire site that covers, of course, your Arizona Cardinals. And we're in the middle of one of my favorite times of year for the show. Not that I don't enjoy all my shows with Seth, but this is a difference, a change-up, is that this time of year we're doing the opponent previews, as we've done for the last several summers. We line up 14 team previews as the Cardinals face 14 opponents each season, and line up usually the NFL, the site editor for the NFL wire site for the teams that the Cardinals face. And in this case, as the Cardinals will face the Los Angeles Chargers at home in a Monday night game that will be streaming only on ESPN Plus. But Cardinals fans, you don't have to worry. It'll be on local broadcast. Same thing in the Chargers home area. You don't have to get ESPN Plus for that. But Chargers Wire managing editor Gavino Borges, who is also a guy here in the Valley of the Sun. We've had Gavino on in the past. Gavino, how you been? Thanks for coming on the show again and talking Cardinals Chargers.
Yeah, I've been doing pretty good, Jess. Like you said, we both live here in the Valley, so, you know, just kind of surviving this dead time without football, but also just trying to survive the heat for the next few months.
Woo! Yes, it is. It's blazing out there these days. Now, you've got an exciting team to cover. It was not exciting to cover them, I'm sure, last season, the way things ended. We're talking about the Los Angeles Chargers. We'll do this as we've done in years past. We want to talk about last season. We'll talk about the offseason. We'll look at the 2024 season coming up. So the 2023 Chargers season obviously was disappointing, where they finished 5-12. Brandon Staley's, you know, swashbuckling, risk-taking, you know, his approach finally wears thin, and they start off the year 4-4, and then the wheels fall off. They lose in 3 in a row, they win one more, and then they lose their final 5 games to fall to 5-12. What was it about that season that was most disappointing, and were there any highlights to what happened?
Yeah, so I think if we go back even further to the 2022 season, when the Chargers did make the playoffs and they played the Jaguars, maybe a lot of people will remember that game, maybe they don't, but they had a big lead on the Jaguars.
The Chargers in the most Charger way in the playoffs.
Yes, and they lost to the Jaguars, and then from there, there was kind of just, like, there was hope because they made the playoffs. Brandon Staley got them there, but then it kind of carried on to the next season, and you know, they finished 5-12. There wasn't a lot going on because they were continuing to lose close games. You had injuries to Justin Herbert, like with his hand. He kind of dealt with that, like, you know, for half the season, eventually ending on the injured reserve. Joey Bosa went down early on too. Fortunately, they had a big year from Khalil Mack, but again, you got this sense that they still were continuing to Charger. And, like, on the back half of the season, there had been talk like, okay, Staley has to go. Is he going to make it for the full season? And they had that primetime game against the Raiders where they lost 63-21. And that's where that was the last straw. You know, I was surprised.
The Raiders team that was not that good. Ooh.
No. And that's like the only time where I'm glad the Raiders won, because that was the last straw for Brandon Staley. They let go of him the next day. He was fired. I was surprised, because knowing the Spanos family, they typically let their coaches finish out the season, but they said that they had enough. Giff Smith came in as the interim head coach, because he had the most experience on the coaching staff. And, you know, they actually played some, like, good football, yeah, even with Easton Stick.
Combined, they lost 3 games, but by a total of 10 points. They lost by 2 to the Bills, 16-9 to the Broncos, and then, you know, lost 13-12 to the Chiefs in that meaningless game in Week 18. But yeah,
actually showed some life, and you know, Easton Stick played well, like while Herbert was on the IR, and that's kind of like what got him re-signed. But you know, the Brandon Staley era, it was short-lived. When they brought him in, they saw this quote-unquote defensive guru after one season with the Rams, with all this talent on that team, and they thought that they would be able to get that same sort of product with the Chargers, and it never came to fruition.
Were there, like, you got a great season from Khalil Mack at age 32, 17 total sacks, 22 quarterback hits, and 21 tackles for loss. Keenan Allen was a Pro Bowler with over 100 catches and over 1,200 yards. You had Austin Eckler with over 1,000 yards from scrimmage, but it wasn't nearly the impact that he had. He only averaged 3.5 yards per carry. Aside from Keenan Allen and Khalil Mack, would you say that there were any other standouts from last season that you could point to say, hey, there's something to like for 2024?
Obviously he's off the team, but you saw glimpses, like just flashes from Mike Williams before he got hurt. Second year, Tuli Tuli Polotu, he had a good rookie season. He came in huge while Joey Bosa had missed time, so he's going to be a guy that they're really going to count on this season. And I think really just like the edge rushers in general. Like I said, with Tuli, you know, they drafted him in the second round. He was a really good run defender, but, you know, he was able to impact the quarterback as well. I think he tied Will Anderson for the most quarterback pressures among rookie edge defenders per Pro Football Focus with like 33, I believe. And then, I would say him, Quentin Johnston, they drafted him in the first round. They were expecting to get a lot out of him. It was a dreadful rookie season. Dealt with the same issues was the drop passes. And I just feel like with that team in general, like, you know, Khalil Mack was really just like that standout player. Rashawn Slater, who missed 2022 with torn biceps, he kind of returned to form as well. Having him protect Herbert's blind side like that was huge. They needed him out there. They missed him a lot during that previous season. And that's pretty much it. Like, there was really no bright spots. And a guy that you would think did well, but it was probably his worst season, was Derwin James. Like, he really struggled. And especially, like, you'd see it on the back end of that season in coverage. Like, players were beating him, and people were saying, like, is he done? Like, is Derwin a fraud? Like, people were saying, like, oh, wow. You know, he, like, yeah, they were, like, saying, like, he's not the same player, but a lot of that just had to do with what Brandon Staley was just doing with these players. He was having them do too much. It was very complex. And the
mass number, 125 tackles, that's good. Not that you necessarily want a safety getting that many tackles, but because they use them a lot of ways. But I think probably the biggest difference that you would notice is his on-ball play, where he only broke up 7 passes all year and had the one interception, and that's after, you know, you'd seen him have multiple interceptions. I'm pulling up the stats. He had, you know, he had multiple interceptions each of the previous 2 years. He's been a mass tackler pretty much every year, but that was after 3 Pro Bowls. You know, he's a second team All Pro in 2022. He's an All Pro his rookie year. He was fantastic. Do you believe that was more to do with the situation, or is, you know, he's now hitting his late 20s and he did miss an entire season in 2020. Is physically things starting to change for him?
Yeah, you always want to look at age and players and, you know, first off point to that. But Brandon Staley was really having him do different things like on a snap-to-snap basis. And I think with that, yes, they call him like this versatile chess piece, but it became like where it was just too complex for him. You know, like I still saw like the same type of player, like the physicality. Obviously, he was probably the best open field tackler, but just like when it came to like covering these skilled players, it seemed like he would just lose a step because he was tasked with just doing too much. And again, I put a lot of that on Brandon Staley with what he was asking him to do, because Derwin, again, he's probably one of the most important players on the Chargers team. And when you ask a player to do like too much in one game, that's eventually going to catch up to them. So that's what happened. And, you know, we'll talk about it in a little bit, but I expect like a bounce back season under this new system.
What is before Herbert got hurt, what would you say about his season? What would you say about the growth that he's made as a passer? You know, we've got NFL experts talking about one of the top quarterbacks in the league, yet he does suffer from the problem that his play doesn't lead to more wins. What is your take on how he played last season and what you've seen out of him in his career?
Yeah, so coming out of college, you know, everyone saw Justin Herbert as like this project. He's a very toolsy quarterback. I was probably one of the very few who thought that coming out, even before he was drafted by the Chargers, that he could really make it in the league. And, you know, that's something I'll really stand by. So I'm fortunate enough to that he has developed into this quarterback that he has. But I think a lot of it, like as far as like the growth, like you see like the arm talent, that's always there. He can make every throw, you know, whether it's deep, and that's what he's known for is his arm strength. But I would say like his eyes have definitely gotten better. He's definitely a better processor. Before, he was kind of like in college, you would see it. You'd stare one receiver down and then, you know, throw it. Or, you know, he just wasn't good with manipulating defenders. So he's definitely improved in that area. A big issue like throughout his whole NFL career has been that offensive line. Last year, you know, you had Kellen Moore come in as the offensive coordinator. And I would say a lot of that falls on like the coaching, like just like the protection plans. And, you know, he was still getting pressured a lot. Like if you looked at the amount of times that he was pressured and sacked, like he just didn't have that much time. And it didn't have to do with like the talent. It did when Corey Linsley went out, because he was another important player who got hurt. And then, you know, eventually he's, you know, probably on the verge of retiring now. But, yeah, you know, I would still say it stems from just, like, the protection plans. But there's not, like, a lot of flaws in his game. One thing that we haven't been able to, like, really see that we saw specifically in that last game in his college career against Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl was his legs. Herbert's a pretty athletic player for how big he is, too. And there was never that much, like, design runs. We saw him run the ball. I think he was probably the most efficient. I don't have the stats next to me, but if you pull up the stats, I feel like he last year was probably statistically the best season as a rusher. And again, we'll talk about it in a little bit, but you wonder like, you know, now like with Greg Roman coming in as OC, like use his legs too, kind of like make him like this more dual threat quarterback, Josh Allen-esque. You know, I'm not saying he's the type of runner that Allen is, but from
but at
physical
least
profile.
Use his legs as a threat. Not necessarily a lot, but just to keep defenses honest.
But again, that's how eventually he got hurt with that hand, which is like taking a hit. And I get it that his hand got caught in, I think it was Max Crosby's face mask, and he was going for a tackle. And that's how he got his first hand, and then he got his second hand. I think it was Zach Allen when they were playing the Broncos that tackled him, so former Cardinal. And that's how he hurt his other hand. And that's kind of like what put him on the IR, if I remember correctly. But, again, the constant pressure, just not having this much time. Now we kind of like are focusing on this whole O-line-centric team, as they would say, wanting to run the ball. And they're hoping that they have better protection for Herbert. So I feel like he just has not gotten that throughout his whole career.
Coming up next on the Rise Up Spirit podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's move on to talk about what they've done in the offseason. The Los Angeles Chargers is coming next on Rise Up Spirit. We're back on the Rise of Sierra podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web, talking about the Los Angeles Chargers that the Cardinals face this season on Monday night at home in Week 7 with Gavino Borges from ChargersWire.com. We move on to the offseason. Obviously, the biggest move, I would argue that the biggest move that they made had nothing to do with personnel, but it was the coach that they got as they lured Jim Harbaugh away from Michigan, where he won the national title last season. And he's now their head coach, and he brings a coaching staff that looks, you know, you got Greg Roman, a guy he's worked with before. He's got Mark Trestman as a senior offensive system, a guy that he's worked with. Those are some old names. Mark Trestman's been around for a long, long time. He even worked with Jake Plummer when the Cardinals were when he played for the Cardinals back in the early 2000s. So tell me, what has Jim Harbaugh done? How important, how impactful do you think his addition will be just because of his resume? And what have you seen from him thus far? Just an offseason, obviously nothing on the field really yet, but is there a different vibe in the building?
Yeah, because, you know, with Harbaugh, he's definitely like what they call like a player's type of coach. And I think he really lives up to that because, you know, in OTAs and mini camp, he was like, he was working out with the guys too. You know, he was pushing the sled. So things that you see like on the internet, like of him being this like bubbly, weird, wiry guy, like you definitely saw that in the couple months when they were on the field. You know, we talked about a new coach coming in, and we always resort to a culture shift or a culture change, and people always want to resort to that. Well, I feel like with Harbaugh, it's definitely kind of lived up to that because the way that the players talk about him, you know, he has a resume to back it up as well. And just from all of the press conferences and just like what the bigger name outlets are talking about with Harbaugh that are on site, like he's definitely a guy where it's different than when Brandon Staley was there, like Anthony Lynn was there, like these first-time head coaches, like they have a legitimate head coach who's there and he wants to win. He wants to bring the Chargers like their first Super Bowl victory. So there's a lot of excitement in LA, and now it's only a matter of what he's going to put on the field. We see the resume. He's won everywhere he's been from his days back at San Diego, Stanford with the 49ers, and then most recently Michigan to kind of cap off his collegiate coaching career. So, yeah, like some exciting times in L.A., and now it's kind of see like what he actually delivers on the field.
In the offseason, major changes in personnel. Obviously, they trade Keenan Allen. They cut Mike Williams. They bring in there's definitely some Baltimore influences with bringing Greg Roman. So they bring in Gus Edwards at running back, J.K. Dobbins at running back, both who are running backs for Greg Roman in Baltimore. The receiving room, though, what's the receiving room going to be? Because it looks like they bring in DJ Chark, and DJ Chark thus far in his career has been a very talented very talented player who has accomplished not much other than longevity in the league, which in and itself in terms of a career is fantastic, but in terms of impact, he's not had it basically since his rookie year.
Yeah, with DJ Chark, he was definitely so he was one of those post-draft signings that, you know, I saw as, okay, they're adding more speed into that wide receiver room, which they haven't had in many years. You know, if you look back at the previous years, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Josh Palmer, like they're not known for their speed. So what are the Chargers trying to do? They're getting faster at that position. So with DJ Chark, yeah, you're right. Very talented player that hasn't done much. He had that Pro Bowl year in Jacksonville. But, you know, I kind of like look at his time, like as far as like with the Panthers and just like the quarterback situation there too. So I'm wondering, like, if that had anything to do, and like if he has a quarterback like Justin Herbert, who will probably be like the best, you know, quarterback he's played with, if they can kind of maximize his full potential. So I saw that move. I'm like, okay, you know, this is a pretty good move, because it's a low risk move. It's very, very cheap to get him over there. And yeah, just as far as the wide receiver room in general, like, there's no bona fide number one, because at the very top, you could probably say Joshua Palmer is number one, just given he's the most experienced. He's been the most productive receiver when he's healthy. They drafted Ladd McConkey, who I wouldn't be surprised if he leads the Chargers in targets and in receptions, because he is probably the best, like, separator among the receivers. We saw him at Georgia. Like, he was definitely a fan favorite going into the draft. People thought he could sneak into the first round. The Chargers traded up for him. But he also offers speed as well. Now, he's been hurt because he's a very undersized receiver. You look at him, he's very skinny. He's not tall. He's only like 5'10". So you have that. And then you have Quentin Johnston, who a project, you could say, entering the 2023 NFL draft. And he had a lot of issues that people thought were going to show up in the NFL, and they did. And it was the drop passes. He struggled with separation too, because he's a big guy. He has a size, speed, but he's more of the yards after the catch guy. So you really have to design to get him open, and as opposed to like fighting through a defender, because in contested situations, he wasn't coming down with the ball. I think he only had like 31 catches on 62 targets, something like that. But it didn't look pretty. Like, he didn't surpass 500 yards. But the hope is that he's going to take a step forward, you know, in his sophomore season. But that's like pretty much it. You know, you have Darius Davis, who's mainly a special teams guy, and they drafted Brendan Rice. Everyone knows the son of Jerry Rice, and Cornelius Johnson, a Michigan guy. So the wide receiver room, it lacks top end talent for sure. So it's different after losing Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, but they did that too.
Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and then Austin Eckler too. So basically their entire skill player core has been turned over. But you add Gus Edwards, you add J.K. Dobbins, you add, and this is the part which was definitely a Jim Harbaugh thing, they add Will Dissly, they add Hayden Hurst at the tight end position, will continue to be an important position for them. Other than were there any other key losses that will be noted outside of Eckler, Williams, and Allen?
To a point, you can say Michael Davis, their cornerback. He was their number one cornerback. Now Asante Samuel Jr. is responsible for that. Christian Fulton, who they signed as well, will play opposite of him. Another player who talented, you know, coming out of college, but has not lived up to the hype and just like where he's supposed to, like, first round potential. So I would say Michael Davis. You know, I wouldn't say Eric Kendricks, the linebacker. He struggled a lot in coverage. He was a Brandon Staley signing as well. But that's pretty much it. It's really like those skill players that you point to. And, of course, Corey Linsley, who I mentioned. He, you know, one of the top centers in the league. He was definitely a crucial piece in the protection plans, the run blocking up front, and they replaced him with Bradley Bozeman. Again, another former Raven player to replace him. And, you know, they're hoping that he can kind of fill that gap and offer, you know, the same level of play. You know, he's no Corey Linsley, but that's a very important position to play, you know, coming off of a Corey Linsley and then going to Bradley Bozeman. So that's what I would pretty much say. Like, it's really the skill players that were probably the most significant losses.
And we look at the draft, obviously, over at number 5 overall. They take Joe Alt, the extremely talented tackle out of Notre Dame. You mentioned Ladd McConkey. Jim Harbaugh brings back his defensive leader in Junior Colson, linebacker in round 3. They get a defensive an Alabama defensive tackle, Justin Eboigba, I think is how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Tarib Steele, cornerback Maryland. Cam Hart, physical, big, athletic cornerback out of Notre Dame. Kamani Vidal, Roy, out of Troy, running back. You mentioned Rice and Cornelius Johnson. If I recall, so Slater's going to stay on the left side. They're going to put Alt on, at right tackle as a rookie.
Yep. So they're going to play Joe Alt at right tackle. He played a little bit like in college. Like, I think it was his freshman year. But you can say that he hasn't really played right tackle. But I feel like a guy like him, the athleticism that he offers, being 6'8".
He's a giant.
He's just like his dad, you know, who played for the Chiefs and back in the day. So he's going to go over to right tackle. The former right tackle, Trey Pipkins, he's going to slide into right guard, which was played by Jamari Salyer last year. So Pipkins will go to right guard, Zion Johnson left guard, and then Bradley Bozeman center. So a decent offensive line, I would say. Like, you know, they're – what's that?
I was going to ask, do you see Alt staying there long-term, or if they view him – like, because Paris Johnson for the Cardinals hadn't played right tackle. He played right guard his 2 years ago, and then he played left tackle for Ohio State. Then he played right tackle all last season. But they was always kind of viewed – I don't know if they knew that they were going to get rid of DJ Humphreys. It made it easier if he tore his ACL, but that they were going to move him eventually to left tackle. Do you see Alt eventually moving to left tackle, or is that hedging bets against Slater coming off an injury? That way they've got an option if things come up again?
Yeah, it's really like if I think Slater were to get hurt, then you would essentially just go Alt left tackle, Pipkins right tackle, and then Salyer right guard is what I think they'll do. But I see him playing right tackle for the rest of his career unless he gets traded or something, or they move on from Slater, which that would be the biggest mistake to move on from him. But
two very good tackles, Slater and Alt's great. You already mentioned McConkey. Do you see, is Colson going to have a role in the defense this year? And is there anyone beyond Alt, McConkey, maybe Colson, who you view as having an impact in year one?
Yeah, so just to kind of touch up on Colson, he's going to compete with Deion Henley, another former third-round pick of last year's draft. He'll compete with him to play alongside Denzel Perryman, who they did sign. They've actually brought back to the Chargers, where he was drafted in 2016, I want to say. So he's played with the Chargers, but they brought him back. Again, a downhill thumper. You're not going to get much of him in coverage. But Henley and Colson will compete for that starting job, but I think eventually they view Henley and Colson as like the starting linebackers long term. But to answer your question of if I see any players that will make an impact outside of those top three rounds. Tarheeb Still from Maryland, fifth round pick. He will be competing for the starting nickel job with Jasir Taylor. So there's a good chance that he could see some playing time. Jasir Taylor struggled this past season. And again, he wasn't Harbaugh's guy. He's, you know, if Jesse Minter likes Still, obviously they see him. They like his ball production coming out of Maryland. He had a lot of interceptions. He's able to just get his hands on the ball a lot. He had a really good mini camp. He was mentioned quite a bit. So that's going to be a competition in training camp that, you know, he could make an impact in his rookie season. The fourth round pick, Justin Eboigba from Alabama, he might be a rotational piece with Puna Ford and Morgan Fox. But as far as those receivers, I know everyone's curious, like, is Brendan Rice going to play? Because, again, son of Jerry Rice. But I see him, I did a projection piece. I see him making the team over Johnson, but I don't know how much he's going to play in his rookie season. Like, unless like someone were to get hurt, which Palmer has had injury concerns, Akonkwo as well. You know, like, unless someone got hurt, I can't see Rice playing that much in his rookie season. So still a good haul for the Chargers, because, I mean, if you're able to get at least like three guys who could contribute in their rookie season, then I'd say you did pretty good, you know. So, yeah.
Coming up next on the Rise Up Here podcast, the best of Cardinals talk, and we'll do our final segment talking about 2024, what expectations are for this Chargers team with Gavino Borges. That's coming up next, Rise Up Here Red. We're back on the Rise Up Here podcast, best of Cardinals talk on the web. Looking ahead to 2024, Gavino, what are then reasonable expectations? What is the hope with Jim Harbaugh, with Justin Herbert coming back, with a retooled offense, which looks like is going to be philosophically much different and will be look perhaps more Baltimore, maybe not necessarily that, obviously not Lamar Jackson Baltimore, but definitely run first. What can we expect from the Chargers this coming season?
Yeah, so obviously with Greg Roman, he's going to want to run the ball. Jim Harbaugh wants to run the ball. It's very apparent with what they did in the offseason with the additions of Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins, and then, you know, Kamani Vidal, if you want to mention him. But, you know, with the addition of Joe Alt, too, you know, it wasn't just to protect Herbert, but we're going to run the ball, Will Dissly. It's obvious. So it's going to start there, and everyone's wondering, like, is Herbert going to take a step back? No. I think they're going to implement, like, a balanced approach to be able to, like, pass the ball just as much as they do, like, run the ball. Now, mind you, the Chargers haven't had a good running game in, you know, years. Like, even when Melvin Gordon was there and Austin Eckler were there together, you can't really say that they've had a dominant running game, and they've had to rely on Herbert. So that's been another reason why, you know, Herbert has taken a beating as much as he has, or like, you know, the expectations are him for him are so high, because they haven't had a running game to lean on. So I think with Greg Roman, you know, he's gonna run the ball. He's gonna try to wear teams out, and then, you know, implement play action, allow Herbert to take some shots down the field. And yeah, because, you know, they wouldn't have added these receivers if they didn't think, like, okay, you know, screw it, we're not going to pass the ball, we're just going to run the ball every single play. So I think we kind of just see this balance offense. And like you mentioned earlier, too, they brought in Mark Trestman, who will have some say in that offense. They have Marcus Brady, so a passing game coordinator as well, too. So they have the coaches, and it's not just Greg Roman who's going to have the final say. Like, let's run the ball down their throats. But they want to be able to, like, run the ball efficiently, so that way they're not just, like, one-dimensional like they have been in the past.
If we look at what are – now, Harbaugh, playoff guy. He's a playoff coach.
Yeah.
Do you think the Chargers in the AFC West, in that AFC, can push – and compete for playoff spot?
I think they do. In my prediction, I have them going 10-7 in his first season. The reason for that, you know, I'm not one of those guys where every year the Chargers have these high expectations. There's a lot of hope for them. But not only do you have Harbaugh, you have Herbert, but they have the second easiest schedule in the NFL. So that helps a lot. And when you kind of, like, combine all those, like, I don't see them being like a 6-11, 7-10. Like, at the very least, like, 9 wins. Like, I just can't see them falling short under that mark. Even like with the first time, like, or first season head coach, Harbaugh's been here. He, you know, unless like an injury happened to Herbert, that's the only way I can see the Chargers falling short of expectations. But they have, like, these top-end players at key positions. You know, they're going to affect the quarterback, like, with their edge rushers. That's probably their strongest group. We didn't really talk about it, but Jesse Minter, their new defensive coordinator, he kind of comes from like that Mike McDonald tree. It was Baltimore too. So he was definitely the best defensive coordinator, like you could say, in college football. He's proven, and I think he's what he has is going to mesh well with the players that they did on defense. You know, they kind of overhauled that side of the ball. So I see a 10-7 at the very least, like a 9-8 team. And I'm not trying to be biased here by any means, but like, yeah, like if it was a different head coach and they had, and this was their roster, I would probably say like, okay, 7-10. Like they just don't have that experience at the head coaching spot, but it's Jim Harbaugh now. Like, am I saying they're going to win the Super Bowl? No. Like if they just at least get to the playoffs, then I would not be surprised.
What do you think their ceiling is then? So you're saying about 10 wins. What do you think their ceiling for the season in terms of wins and then how far they can go in the postseason?
I think they can win a playoff game. But then beyond that, I think, you know, I could see them getting knocked out because we're talking about going into conditions like a Buffalo or Kansas City for that matter. That's where like I can see like it getting a little dicey and then them just like falling short because again, we're talking winter weather. So if they have to play in something like that, then that's where I'm like, okay, you know, it'll be tough for them. But if we're talking like 2 years down the road, they finally like put together like this dominant roster, then we're talking about a time where the Chargers are going to be serious contenders to finally win a Super Bowl. Like, you know, they have those foundational pieces at like those key positions like right now, but they're still lacking a little bit of depth where some other teams like, you know, Kansas City may have, you know. So, yeah. And I know I've gotten this asked a lot too, but will they win the AFC West? They won't. Not this year. I think Kansas City, they'll go 13-4 or whatever. They won't win the division this year.
No, that's a tough ask. That's a tough ask. And as we look at that Week 7 game against the Cardinals, how would the Chargers view the Cardinals on their schedule? What type of game do you expect that to be at this point? Is that a expected a win, a hope to win, challenge, or stealing a win?
Yeah, well, we saw the game, what, 2 seasons ago, and that went down to that was a crazy game. We saw how that ended up in a Chargers win, and it wasn't easy by any means. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's another close one because the Cardinals are now, like, I feel like a sneaky, decent team. Like, you know, me living
that's
in Arizona.
Hope. That's the hope, is yeah, that that's they're, the hope. That they can be, like, they've got – so they've made improvements defensively. The offense shouldn't be a problem this year. And if the defense is something other than atrocious, they should, you know, they could, like, I'm not going to predict them to go to the playoffs. I just think that they'll be in the mix at the end. I think they'll be in the mix down to the end of the regular season.
And which I'm, you know, hopeful for, because me being a guy who lives in the Valley too, like, you know, we know what the sports scene is like here. So, if we can kind of at least get a decent Cardinals team, then, hey, you know, I'm happy for it. But as far as that game in specific, I see it being a close one too. I'm really curious to see how a cornerback like Asante Samuel Jr. will deal with, like, the physicality and, like, just of Marvin Harrison Jr. That should be, you know, a fascinating matchup, you know, because Asante Samuel Jr. is pretty undersized, and that kind of could be a mismatch right there. I'm really curious to see how the run defense is going to play because, like, I like the backfield of the Cardinals. I think that Trey Benson was a great addition to that backfield. And, you know, that's another thing that the Chargers have struggled with. And until I see it on the field, like, they're still a team who's, like, struggled against defending the run. Like, I don't know if you've ever watched a Cardinals game. And, again, running backs will just run all over the Cardinals. And that's where, like, Brandon Staley, like, what is this? And, you know, I expect them to get better, obviously, but until I see it on the field, you know, I could see that running game of the Cardinals taking advantage of the defense too. So definitely a fascinating matchup. Too bad it's not on national TV. Like, you got to ask
that. They say it's on national TV, but yeah, it'll be running opposite another Monday night game, and you have to stream it. Yeah, like, if you're outside of the Phoenix and LA markets, you're going to have to look for the game to find it. And I cannot, yeah. I just, Cardinals Chargers, even with Justin Herbert and Kyler Murray still, that just doesn't move the dial for most people, that they're not going to go look for that game when they can just turn on the regular yep. Monday night game that's on ABC.
But it should still be a good game because, yeah. Again, there's hope for the Cardinals this season. And then with the Chargers, there's, again, like every other year, there's a lot of hype. But let's see if they can live up to it.
And with that, we will wrap up this edition of the Rise Up Seared podcast. Best of Cardinals talk on the web. Our opponent preview with Gavino Borkas of Chargers Wire to talk about the Chargers. Gavino's work you can find over at the Chargers Wire, one of our NFL Wire sites. Gavino, anywhere else that they can find your work, social media, whatnot?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. It's just my name, Gavino Borkas. There's no underscore, nothing like that. So it's just Gavino Borkas as is. I'll be more active on there with training camp coming up. Just posting my thoughts and all of my takeaways pieces. So yeah, I'll start cranking up the work as I'm sure you will too.
As things get previews and all weeks. This stuff. All right. Thanks, Gavino, for your time. We'll be back again soon. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again soon with another, depending on when this gets published, but probably more opponent previews. That's Gavino Borkas. I'm Just Root. Thanks for listening as always.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise Up Red Sea, Be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up Sea Red.